get to know you very much because you're kind of a quiet guy. Kind of, you know. But he has a super tender heart for our Lord, as you can see. And thank you so much for being here today. Yeah, when Shelly, we were in our staff meeting, and they were asking about what we can do. And I was just thinking about men and women of God and who they are in churches. And over at North County, we've been doing a lot of things together. We started years ago doing a harvest festival, they called it, at Halloween. And we joined them. Remember that, Mike? That was, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And then that started some things, and we started, and they were kind of stunned that we were doing that. I mean, we're a Baptist church, and they're Pentecostal, and a little bit different, and, you know, and then all of a sudden, next thing I know, Steve's bringing men. He asked me, is it okay if we come to Band of Brothers? Could we bring men to Band of Brothers? I said, amen. I go, come. And next thing you know, we have 34 different congregations coming to Band of Brothers. And all these things started happening. And then she was talking about, well, you know, we're going to do this in the park, and we've got their choir coming and joining our choir. And so they wanted to take it over there. And I thought, oh, yeah, go shake it up. And I asked, I said, well, who's going to be doing our stuff this Sunday? I mean, am I doing it? You know, am I going to be leading this thing? And I said, oh, no, we're going to have a real man of God, you know, Robert. And so I just wanted to tell you some things. I want to take you to a place. In the way my life works, I tell people this all the time wherever I travel. I said, let's just suppose today that the Word of God is true. You know, and everyone always laughs about that. But the truth is, while we say it's true, we don't really believe it is. Because when hard times come to us, we go the opposite direction almost all the time. That's why you see the divorces we're still having. I mean, do you realize that the church in America divorces at a 2% greater rate than people who don't know the Lord? You got a 2% greater rate of staying together if you don't know the Lord in America. I mean, think what I just said. Doesn't that do something for us? Blow your hair back just a smidgen? And so I look at this, and we're going to be talking about how do you grow? How do you grow? What is growth anyway? How do you mature in Christ? What does that even mean? I mean, what does that really mean in the definition of our soul? You know, it was Warren Wiersbe said in his book on belief, what we believe determines how we behave. What we actually believe, I mean, determines what we, but both determines what we become. And so I think about this how does God really save us? Does He really save us? You know, I think of Glenn Evans in Daily with the King. God can save from the effects of my hate, but can He save me from being hateful? Okay, He can save me from the effects, but I mean, He wipes away the record. Can He change me so that I am no longer stingy, suspicious, jealous, cruel, or moody? If salvation means anything, it must work where sin begins, not where it merely ends. It has to. Something has to happen with us. There's an awakening. He says that I was dead and now I'm alive. Well, good grief. If I really believed I was dead and I've been made alive, I'm pumped for now on. I've got a joy in me that I can't contain the joy. I wake up singing to Him. And I want to read something to you before we get into our text today, because I'm going to read something about from Danny Brooks. You know, Danny was raised in this church. I mean, he was raised here. I met him 9 years ago. And he's having, obviously, an opportunity. I'm going to, you know, here's Mom and Dad here today. Mom and Dad, believe it or not, are going to have an opportunity. It's just part of the journey. Grandma and Grandpa are here. I mean, and what does it mean to, what is this new salvation? What is the magnificent nature of grace? There's something so magnificent that many of us are missing it. Most of the time, Amazing Grace and these wonderful songs are just words that we sing. And we like them, we know them, or if you go to a funeral, every time I'm doing a Marine Corps funeral or something, they'll have a bagpipe. What song do you think that bagpipe plays? Amazing Grace. Every single time I'm in the honor guard in the Marine Corps, we're doing a funeral, we're shooting our rifles, we're folding the flag, and then they go, he starts his deal. And every single time it's Amazing Grace. And then as soon as he does that, everybody starts crying. It is an amazing thing, but the magnificence of the nature of grace. Let me tell you what, let me give you a little bit of a definition. I'm going to read out of Titus, but and so it won't be on your screen. You just have to listen to me, okay? Once we too, now you're going to have to ask, and I always do this with men and women. I say, when it says we got to be we, okay? But when you read in the Word of God, it says, I will. That means it's personal. You take it. You've got to own it. I will, these kinds of things. But once we too were foolish and disobedient. Did you hear that? That means, who was foolish and disobedient? The big we. That's all of us. We too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and many pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. In that condition, but when God our Savior revealed His kindness and love, He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done. He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. Now watch what He did. This is the magnificent nature of grace. He washed away our sins. He washed, what did He do with our sin? Now you gotta believe this. If all scripture is God breathed, if you really believed He washed away all your sins, you wouldn't even stay seated in the chair. I mean, how can you? If you know that you're a sinner and all your sins have been washed away, how much are your sins washed away? All of your sins washed away. A little, it's not a little bit. It's not the sins before Christ. It's all your sins have been washed away. And then watch what He says here. This is so stinking beautiful. Okay, washed away our sins, giving us a new birth. Think of that. A new birth. You were born again. You had to get born again. I got a new birth, a spiritual birth. And then what did He do with me? And a new life through the Holy Spirit. And then He goes, He generously poured out His Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. And then, listen to this. Because of His grace, the magnificent nature of grace, because of His grace, He made us right in His sight. He made us right in His sight. He made us right in His sight. Listen to this. He made us right in His sight. If that is true, there isn't anything that can come your way that you can't not live for the glory of God in. Even when you're weeping, even when bad news comes, because all of a sudden you're after the glory of His name. You're after Him. There's no one like Him. You don't want all these other blessings. You let him choose the blessings. You want Him. He can't give you anything greater than Himself. There's not one of the gifts. Nothing is greater than Him. And when you're after Him, something begins to change in us. So, Mike began this series, and I get to apparently finish it. And that is, how do we mature? What is this thing? So I want to give you our kind of a little bit of our scripture in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. What is that? My body. Because my body is full of sin. It always wants to sin. It's always self-centered. Now, with the magnificent nature of grace, offer your body as a living holy sacrifice. But watch how this has to happen. Your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. You'll be able to test it. What do you mean? You got to have a change. Something has to take place in our thinking. Then you'll be able to prove what His will is. See, the whole idea is the transformation. Be transformed in the renewing of your mind. I'm going to start at the back of the verses and then go back to the front. The reason is because the word transformation is the word in the Greek for metamorphosis. It's the same thing as a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Now, do you think there would ever be a moment in life where the caterpillar thought, you know, someday I'm going to be a magnificent butterfly. Someday I'm going to be, you know, I know you may think I look like a worm, but you know, I'm going to be magnificent. I'm going to fly in the air. Oh, yeah? You big slug. Who do you think you are? Now, think of this. The transformation of the renewing of your mind. The moment, if you have ever received the grace of God in Jesus Christ, the gift of grace, if you received it, transformation started. If there was no transformation started, you're still a caterpillar. It means you're still stingy. You're still easily offended. You're not growing. You get mad over the simplest things. Lust is in the control of your life. The transformation starts in the renewing of our mind. It's a changed mind. In fact, in this New Living Bible, it says it this way. My dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Truly the way, by offering bodies. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God, here it is, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. The transformation has to happen. And part of the whole beginning of the transformation is the wow, is the experience of the wow of God. There's no one like Him. The moment, some of you got saved maybe when you were kids. I didn't have that opportunity. I didn't know those things then. But I discovered them as a man. And the moment God's grace, the magnificent grace of God comes in, a transformation is taking place. Not any different than the caterpillar. The caterpillar doesn't go overnight, doesn't crawl up there and make a cocoon, and bam, he's a butterfly. There's a transformation taking place. There's a metamorphosis taking place. This is what he is, but this is what he's becoming. He is becoming something radically different. And that's the beauty of what Jesus Christ has done. That's what he's calling us to. And I have to say to men and women, if you could start over, if you could be radically made new, would you want to? Would you want the refreshment of Jesus Christ? I'm not talking a religion. I am talking a relationship. There is no one like the Lord. See, salvation in Jesus Christ changes people. Changes them. Why? Well, that's what a metamorphosis does. That's what a transformation does. It changes people. You cannot come in contact with the magnificent grace of God and remain as you were. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. And that's why he says, that's why Paul told the Corinthians to test yourself, examine yourself. Do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, the grace, the magnificent grace of God in you, unless indeed you fail the test? What's the deal? You're still the caterpillar. Everything is going tweaky on you. You cannot rejoice in the Lord. You're struggling with this thing. And by the way, there's no point in it because God doesn't ever have condemnation towards you. He wants you to experience something so magnificent that you cannot contain yourself. I was sitting there thinking, I wrote this a number of years ago, but I wanted to read it to you today. And I said, I believe that everything in the local church, because I've had the privilege of being in so many different denominations and speaking in so many different churches. And so I put this down one time because I said, it's supposed to be, whatever the local church is supposed to be doing in its generation is a byproduct, but a byproduct of delighting in the Lord. And that includes, oh man, this is wonderful. It's up on the screen. Now see, Robert did that. That's way cool. Okay, now watch this. It's a byproduct of delighting in the Lord. Now here's the metamorphosis. Before I go any further, and we'll read it, but the magnificence of God's grace is, it starts the transformation. And here's the transformation. I don't just believe in God anymore. I'm delighting in Him. Something began to happen in me. I began to choose to praise God. I began to choose to delight in Him. And when hard times came, I still began to choose to delight in Him. That includes preaching, teaching, evangelism, music, missions, giving, works of mercy, and even personal holiness and service. First of all, the Lord calls us to enjoy Him. That's the transformation. Enjoy the Lord. There's no one like Him. What Christ has done in the magnificence of the grace of God is this. The grace of God is new all the time. It never grows old. The grace of God, moment by moment. I don't get on the, when I wake up in the morning, grace is as new as I went when I went to sleep. It's always new. There's always, it never gets old. In eternity, it's eternity. Every moment in God is new. It's never old. There's never an old thing. We're always thinking old. You know, and of course, some of us age now. That's why we think old. You know, I look at that and I understand that, but we've got to get past that. Faith is something much greater. Watch this. First of all, the Lord calls us to enjoy Him. Then He sends us out to witness and to work. Delighting in Him puts the Lord where He deserves to be in our lives and keeps us where we ought to be in His presence. So I want to give you these things. I thought about, how am I going to present this, Lord? How am I going to, I know that salvation in Jesus Christ changes people, not just their record book. There's no doubt that you came to erase the bad attitudes and actions from the record book, but even more came to the repeatability, the awesomeness of this whole thing. How in the world has God put this together for you and I? You know, I think of the mercies that are mentioned in Romans. I tell these guys in our band of brothers, we took big words, justification. What in the world is that? Being made righteous. Well, what's righteousness? Righteousness is that I'm free from the power of my own sin. I've been identified. I've taken out of Adam. I've been put into Christ. I'm under grace now. I'm never under judgment. I'm never under law. The Holy Spirit is now indwelling. I have a beautiful thing of coming glory. I'm never going to be forsaken. I have confidence in God. This is where Christ has put us. So I look and I think, I wanted to give you something about, I was thinking about Danny Brooks, and when I first saw the opportunity, we heard about a lump on his hip. You might remember that. There was a lump on his hip, and he got out, and they helicoptered him to, I think it was Manila and things like that. And then take it out, and find out, here's what he says. Today, Philippi and I found out my tumor was an aggressive type of cancer. We will need to get some more tests done in the next few days, and we would greatly appreciate your prayers for wisdom. Isn't that beautiful? And as we prayerfully try to determine the next steps, please pray. Now watch this. Please pray that we would not waste the opportunities that the Lord is laying before us. Did you hear this? Couldn't be of greater illustration of the magnificence of grace. Could not be. There's no way. Oh, Connie, good to see you there. I want to read to you some of the things he said, because I looked at this and I was an emotional disaster area, like this young man down here. I thought, Lord, we get so many people tied up in so many things. This guy's been living out in the jungle somewhere. By choice. Less than stellar housing. For years, going after the Lord. And you know, and many of you were raised right here with him. I mean, you know who he is. The psalmist declares that we should give glory to the Lord alone. The reason that we should declare God's glory, because of his steadfast love and his faithfulness. It's easy to speak of God's love and grace and goodness and faithfulness during times of blessing. Our voices can ring out with great fervor for the thankful declarations when we have walked through seasons of plenty and relative ease. As our declarations lacking sincerity during these times? Absolutely not, because they are the truths of the very nature and the character of God, the blessings of the Almighty. But how boldly we boast of God's grace and goodness and love and faithfulness during times of trials and the times of our strength when it wanes? When we hear news that we have dreaded, will we or will I still fervently declare God's steadfast love and faithfulness? Or will I wallow in all the whys? The magnificent grace of God. There is a temptation to logically try to assess what God must be doing through these trials, or if struggle is connected, what we think is the right logical outcome with what the Lord is doing in our life. Then doubting God's love or His character is a trap that our flesh can fall into. We can be consumed with the why instead of the who. So the psalmist wants to remind us that we ought to glorify God because His love is steadfast. His love is never seasonal. It doesn't increase or decrease with our ever-shifting levels of faithfulness because He is always faithful. He is always thankful and steadfast. Verse 3 declares that God is in the heavens, that we might be tempted to take this to mean that God is somehow distant and withdrawn. But nothing could be further from the truth. The truth screams of God's sovereign control, His ability to see and know all, and therefore respond rightly to our greatest needs in our darkest moments in the way that magnifies His steadfast love and faithfulness. Finally, we are told that God does all that He pleases so He can show. So how can we allow suffering, struggles, sickness, etc.? Well, I won't pretend to have a $1 million answer, but I tell you this, it costs us very little to sing songs of the love of God and faithfulness when life is easy. When we are entertained and uncomfortable, it is our greatest sorrows and pains, trials and tragedies, that the depths of God's steadfast love, grace and mercy and faithfulness ring out with greater clarity and meaning than ever before. It is during these times that we more fully throw ourselves upon the Father and desperate to know Him and experience Him in a way that brings us closer to enjoying Him in a way that we were created to. When we see and know and experience God in this way, we will declare His glory, and this is what is pleasing to Him. Is that not beautiful? Aren't you proud of your son? Are you not overwhelmed with the man of God he's become? Your brother? Your grandson? When I can tell us, present your bodies in a living holy sacrifice. The Almighty says, and you could ask why? Because it's the spiritual act of worship. What does it mean to present your body? Does it mean only when it's cancer-free? How about when everything is broken in us, when nothing's working? You present your body because what? God gave you the power and the authority of His grace to take that which wants to sin and say, no, it is given to the glory of God today. I choose to rejoice in the Lord, and I will rejoice today. I choose today to be joyful in the midst of my place. I have been transformed in the renewing of my mind. What do you mean? I literally came out of the cocoon. I know what I was dead, but I have come out of the cocoon. I have spread wings I did not know I had. I see worlds that I never knew. You think a caterpillar ever could understood being flying? No way. And I always tell everybody, I've always done this. I said, man, if you have a beautiful garden and you walked out one day and saw 1,000 caterpillars in that garden, would you be happy? No. You're going to go find the pest control guy. There's Key right there. Okay? Key Pest Control. You're going to find him right then. But you walk out into that same garden, and all of a sudden one day you see 1,000 monarch butterflies. What are you going to do? You call all your friends. You got to come over and see what I was in my... You're not going to believe. That's what God intended us to be in our world. We were meant to be so transformed with the joy of the Lord that it's effortless. That butterfly's not going like, oh God, how long do I have to do this? It isn't. It's with great glory, with great anxious joy, full of glory. This is what God has called you and I to be. We were meant this, and I asked, why wouldn't you want to be this? Why? What is it that holds us back? What fear? What anxiety? What stress? What worry? What sin have you committed that just keeps strangling you? Knowing that God has washed away all your sin. How much? All. All your sin. Does not make you want to fly and rejoice in the Almighty? Doesn't it make you just want to forgive everybody and their grant? Forgive all those other caterpillars. They have no clue what they're doing. That's why Christ would say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The guy's still a caterpillar. What do you expect out of the caterpillar? I expect a caterpillar is going to eat things I don't want him to eat. And when I had a garden, and they did come into my garden, my dad was in pest control. I had every kind of poison you can imagine. But you know what I did with those caterpillars? Now, there were certain ones I did spray. But those good-looking caterpillars, you know the big ones with all the color on them, and they got all this hair going everywhere? I mean, they look really freaky, but they're really kind of pretty freaky. I would pick them up and take them to another place. I said, I would pick them up, and this is the way I'm wired. I pick this big ugly thing up, and it's pretty. I mean, it's got all this color and hair and stuff, and it's got all these feet looking weird things. And I would go, you have no idea if time goes by what you're going to be. You have no idea that I am saving you for a future. What if men and women of God treated everybody else with respect instead of dishonor? What if you could stop being offended? Would you? Did you know that you can be transformed by the magnificent grace of God? It's Him. It's Him. He's had a plan for you all along to rejoice, to give thanks in everything. Give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord today. Delight yourself in the Lord today. He will give you the desires of your heart. This is the magnificence of what we're talking about. When I talk about the magnificent nature of grace, I feel His good pleasure. So I would ask you today, is this what you want? Is this the way you want to live? Only you can answer. You're the only one. Nobody can make this happen. And I will ask, have you received the grace of God in Jesus Christ? You have to know. Have you received the gift of God, the grace of God? Have you been willing to say, I want the grace of God? He says, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. You can't save yourself. I'll make you brand new. You are saved by grace in my Son. I have a gift for you. Do you want the gift? And if you get the gift and say, Father, I want the gift. I can't make it happen. I receive your gift of Jesus Christ. Transform me in the renewing of my mind, so that I can present my body as a living and holy sacrifice. My attitudes. I know you can erase the record book. I know you can clean off that record book. But can you save me? I know that all my sins have been washed away. But are they washed away in me? Can I love my wife as Christ loves the church? You bet I can. How do I know? Because God said, Gus, now that you've been transformed, love your wife as I love the church. Can I rejoice in the Lord today? You bet I can. Because He says, rejoice in the Lord today. Rejoice in the Lord. Can you delight today? Yes. This is what God has called you to. So I would say this to you today. You know, we've had two other services here, and I've been challenging you. You notice that for you that have been here, I've been challenging you. Okay? I had most of you get your hands in the air. That probably spooked you to death, didn't it? But I looked at that, but I had you celebrate Christ. Only you can celebrate Christ. Nobody can make you do that. And are you ready to celebrate? Because I look at it and I think, I want to do something today for you that we're going to celebrate together. We're going to celebrate with praise. We're going to bless somebody. We're going to choose to bless somebody. So, would you like to bless somebody today? Boy, you got one or two of you wants to bless somebody today. Would you like to bless somebody today? Seriously, would you? If you could bless somebody, would you? All right. Brooks family, come on up here. Come on up here, the whole family. Come on up. Come on up here. We're going to bless you. Grandma and Grandpa. Yeah, come on up. This is going to be a holy time. We'll have our band come on up. Oh, holy woman. Amen.